Let's pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters, a very good morning to all of you. What a joy it is to gather in the house of God, to worship Him, just to be in His presence as one family. It's indeed a true joy. And we are looking forward to the day when we can gather in bigger numbers. Praise the Lord. We have come to the end of part one of our series, which started in March, on a deeper life with Christ, and not just knowing, but also doing His will. And we did this by looking through the lens of John. John makes it clear that Jesus is the eternal Son of God, and because Jesus is God's Son, we can perfectly trust what He says. By trusting Him, we can gain an open mind to understand God's message and fulfill His purpose in our lives. He wants us to draw closer to Him in relationship, in deeper relationship, as we understand the truth of God, of Jesus' character, authority, and power. The Gospel of John is a message of hope to the confused, to the lost, the broken, the downtrodden. And today, we end the series with the understanding that Jesus is the God of second chances. Peter was a fisherman when he met Jesus for the very first time. Peter is known to be impetuous or impulsive. He took many risks and dared to boldly proclaim allegiance to Jesus. Yet at the same time, he was just as arrogant, self-promoting, maybe even quite prideful, saying things he wished he had not said, like telling Jesus that he can't go to the cross and then finding Jesus said to him, "Get behind me, Satan." Or like the Last Supper, he boasted of his great love for Jesus and how he would even die for Jesus. Yet, just a few hours later, Peter will deny Jesus three times and even curse and swear and deny knowing even that he even knew this man named Jesus. And then in the Garden of Gethsemane, he drew his sword and cut off the ear of all people, the high priest's servant, not any of the soldiers. He even tried to walk on water. And at the Transfiguration on the Mount, Jesus. But Mark writes, "For he," that means Peter, "for he did not know what to say, for they were terrified." You see, Peter felt like saying something even when he didn't know what to say. That is Peter for you. Peter was fiercely loyal but aggressive and acted out without thinking. He loved the Lord very much. But when the test came and when the moment that really mattered came, Peter fails and denies Jesus three times. As we all know, the rooster crowed, and Peter, as we know, is overwhelmed with failure, with a sense of failure, regret, sorrow, and even guilt. Looking at these things about Peter, I think just about every one of us here can say at some point, "I've been there. I have failed God." Maybe we can even say, you know, I know how Peter feels. Peter's sense of regret, the pain that he was carrying. We can say, I know how he feels. We may not have behaved badly like Peter in this situation, but I'm sure we have regrets. We have done things we shouldn't have. We have said things we shouldn't have. We have pulled away from our relationship with Jesus. Maybe even denied Him. Not just with words, but with our actions, with our lifestyles, the way we have behaved, the way we have interacted with others in school, in workplaces, among friends and relatives. By this, we could have denied Jesus. Maybe because of our choices that we have made. Or maybe even letting our relationship with Him going cold. I want to add on to the text today, verses 9 to 14, John chapter 21 also, to give a little more context. When they got out on land, the disciples saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now, none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So now, Peter and some of the disciples are now back to fishing. They could have returned to fishing because they thought it is all over, it is finished. Jesus died on the cross, resurrected, he has appeared, and then now he's going back to the Father, and that's it. It's all over for us. It was an interesting journey while it lasted, but that's it. Now, Peter, for his actions, for his past actions, could have been weighing heavily on his mind. Even after seeing the resurrected Jesus twice, he still went back to fishing. He must have thought that he no longer is qualified to serve the Lord. Remember, Jesus told Peter that he is the rock on which the church will be built. And now it seems that he had fallen so far away from that calling. Now he's back to fishing. Now Jesus stands at the shores and instructs the fishermen to cast the net the other side. Then they recognize Jesus, especially John. So Paul, impulsive Paul, immediately jumps into the water and swims to the shore to find that Jesus has prepared breakfast for them with bread and fish. Jesus, my friends, had prepared fish burger or fish fillet for the disciples at the beach. How amazing is that, isn't it? Right? Jesus to prepare fish burger for us. So after that breakfast, Jesus speaks to Peter. They are gathered around a fire, right, in the cold morning. Now, there was a gathering around a fire a few days ago. It is in the context of Peter's denial. And clearly, this account is designed to parallel the scene of Peter's three-time denial of Jesus. We see in John chapter 18, verse 18, it writes, "It was cold, and the servants and officials stood around a charcoal fire they had made to keep warm." Jesus is there, arrested. Peter was also standing with them, warming himself. Around that first fire, Peter made his first denial. Now here is another fire, and Jesus is cooking breakfast. And nothing, my friends, happens by coincidence. The first fire was the fire of denial against Jesus. And this fire is the fire of fellowship where Jesus is taking the initiative to restore Peter. Because that is what Jesus does, isn't it? Jesus wants to restore us. Even when we are beating up ourselves over the past mistakes or failures, or when we are stuck in guilt, when we are feeling undeserved, when we feel disqualified, or even beyond, or we feel beyond forgiveness. No matter what sort of break we have made from discipleship or relationship with Jesus, restoration, my friend, is available in Jesus. So now, after the breakfast, the conversation focuses on Peter. And it is so amazing the way Jesus deals with this. Jesus doesn't say, "Peter, why did you deny me? I told you, right, this will happen. I knew you would deny me three times. I told you. Right? You should have resisted harder. You should have made a stronger stand. Peter, I'm so disappointed in you that you denied me. You have failed me. You have disappointed me." But you know what? Jesus didn't do that. Because he knows that all that will do is hurt Peter even further, make him feel that guilt and pain even more. You see, Jesus doesn't want to cause guilt. He wants to take that guilt away. So Jesus asks the question in a different way. John 21:15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" Something really significant is happening here. The last time in the Gospel of John, when Jesus used Simon, son of John, was back in John chapter 1, verse 42. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. Ever since then, it was either Peter or Simon Peter. And what made Simon into Peter the Rock was his relationship with Jesus. And since that relationship has now been compromised by Peter's denial of Jesus, Simon was being called Simon until that relationship could be re-established, which is what Jesus is doing here. Jesus was not reminding him of where he was from or of the mistakes or failures that he had committed or of his past, but was starting all over with Peter. Jesus is offering a wonderful gift of forgiving and correcting Peter's past. And he is doing the same for us even now. When we fail him, he will not shame or humiliate us. Sometimes that is what the world does to us, isn't it? When we have failed, when we have made a mistake, they are very quick to shame us, to humiliate us, to put us down. But Jesus doesn't do that. Praise God. Jesus does not keep a report book. We all know what a report book is, right? I used to shudder when I get my report book in school. Jesus doesn't keep a report book of our failures, of our mistakes, of our shortcomings, so that he can refer to it later on, you know, when we have failed again and we have made mistakes, he can refer to that and find fault with us. He doesn't do that. He wants us to start all over. He wants us to start all over with him. He wants to re-establish the relationship that we have broken because of our actions, the way we have behaved. So when Jesus asked, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Jesus is offering Peter a chance to start again, all over again, instead of admonishing him. And this is what Jesus is also offering us by lovingly taking us aside and simply asking us to reaffirm our love for him. And that is what he's asking from us. And will you do that today? Peter must have wondered if he was even worthy of being considered one of the disciples even again because of how he failed miserably. You know, it can be painful and sometimes paralyzing when we reflect back, think about it, and realize all those times we have failed our Lord. Sometimes the discouragement of failure is depressing, overwhelming, and even seemingly insurmountable. But you know, friends, there is a way back for us. It is not over. Jesus is not finished with us. He's not done with us. Come alongside Jesus like Peter did when he swam back to the shores when he saw Jesus, and reaffirm your love for Jesus. He's not asking for resolutions or recommitments, or he's not asking us to promise him that we will try harder. You know, we make promises, right? When we say, "Lord, forgive me and I will behave in this way. Forgive me, Lord, and I will do this for you. Forgive me, Lord, and I will achieve this kind of things for you." We tend to do that. We want to do this and that for the Lord if he will forgive us. He is not asking us to make vows. Jesus did not ask Peter, "Will you try harder next time, Peter? Will you do better? Will you behave yourself well?" Jesus is not asking Peter that. Jesus instead asks for Peter's love and also your love. If we truly love him, our service for him will be at the level and quality that he desires and is looking for. Friends, God will not give up on us because he wants to have a loving, personal, and intimate relationship with him. Even if we have made poor choices in the past that have left us with regret, remorse, or guilt, we can still choose how we live right now today. 2 years ago, after I came to know Jesus, 2 years after I came to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I was enlisted in the army. After a few months of enlistment, I went astray. I stopped attending church or even seeking God. I fell away from God. I forgot his goodness. I forgot where he picked me up from. I forgot how he has blessed me, how he has changed my life, the peace that he gave me, the joy that he gave me. I forgot all that and I stopped attending church. And I even forgot God. I wasn't praying, wasn't reading the Bible anymore, wasn't seeking him. And I used to come back once a week from camp. So life was tough. And it was during that time my dad passed away. It was even more challenging for me. I felt very lonely and lost because my family members were not believers. So I didn't get any support from them. I was drifting away from God day by day. It was not that I did not love Him or was ungrateful for what He had done. It was just a trying and difficult time that I was going through. I was feeling guilty over things, many, many things. One guilt led to another because of how I was living my life. Guilt accumulated over time, and it really suppressed me. I was feeling depressed. I was feeling regret. I felt so bad that I felt at that time that I could not even look up to God and call out to Him. Couldn't even call out the name Jesus. That was how bad I was feeling. I was so full of shame. I felt like a failure. And I did not know how to turn back to God. I was thinking, will He accept me back? And that now that I've fallen away, after tasting His goodness and experiencing His mercy and grace, I was a total wreck at that time. And I intentionally stayed away from church friends. You know, when we realize we have failed God, we have made a mistake, we tend to move away from Him instead of towards Him for forgiveness. We tend to run away, go the opposite direction because you know why? This guilt, because I failed God. I've done something wrong. So I cannot go to God. So the only way is the other way. And that's how we feel a lot of times. And that is how I was feeling at that time. Because of how I was living my life, there's no way I can turn to God. There's no way He will accept me. So the only way was the other way. I stayed away for months. But at the same time, deep down, there was a yearning for me to turn back to God. I was hoping down, deep down, will there be a chance for me back? But I did not know how. A few months later, amazingly, two church leaders suddenly called me to check on me and invited me back to church. Those calls brought healing to my soul. I was hesitant initially because I was thinking how I will be received when I go back to church. Will I be questioned? How will people look at me? The look they will give? Will they be sizing me up? So these were common concerns that I had. So I was hesitant about going back to church. But I saw an opportunity and I took that opportunity and went back to church. But when I attended church again, I felt so welcomed and loved again. So welcomed. Welcomed with open arms. But amongst all this, one leader in the church took it upon herself to call me aside and chide me and admonish me, or in our words, to whack me left, right, and center. She thought that was what I needed at the time, and questioning me and telling me, you know, you shouldn't have done this. You shouldn't have left the Lord. You shouldn't have behaved like this. You know, what you did was wrong. What you did was terrible. You know, you shouldn't have behaved like this. She was going on and on and on and on. First, I came with the joy, and then this lady, the way she was speaking to me, put on a burden on me at that spot immediately. And I felt, for a brief moment, I felt so lousy and discouraged. I regretted at that time coming back to church again. So why did I come back again? Maybe I made a mistake. I should not have come back again. Maybe I was not deserving. That regret, that sense was there for a brief moment. But I thank God the welcome that I received from the church members covered the disappointment I faced because of this sister. I never looked back since then. I stayed on in church. It has been more than 30 years now. I thank God that He gave me a second chance. I thank God that how that sister treated me is not how God treats us. God doesn't handle or deal with us the way that sister dealt with me. Even now, I still make mistakes. There were times when I failed to stand for Jesus. I felt shy about professing my faith in Him. And when I repent, the enemy always reminds me of my past. You know, the enemy is always there to remind you and say, you did this, you did this, you did this, you did this. You don't deserve. The enemy is always there to remind me. And he did that many times in my life. But now I know that God will forgive me and will restore me. And I thank God for that. Jesus didn't stop at just a second chance. He gave me a third chance, a fourth chance, and a fifth chance, and many more chances. I stand before you today because of the second chance and many other chances that God gave me. We can be confident that God is most concerned about the relationship He has with us. He will not let anything get in that way, you know. Nothing. nothing now or nothing from the past, He will not let it get in the way of our relationship with Him. So friends, what are you still holding on to from your past that could possibly make you think God will never forgive me, nor would He take me back? I want to encourage you to stop thinking that way. Some of us are here in service physically, and some of us are online, but still struggling in your relationship with Jesus because of something that happened in the past. You can't share this with anybody. Jesus has forgiven you, but you have not forgiven yourself. You may even think or even feel that you don't deserve to be forgiven. But Jesus is inviting you today to have breakfast with Him. He wants to forgive you and restore you. He wants to give you that second chance. He gladly welcomes your return, or for you to come even closer than ever before. Peter's response to Jesus' question was, "Lord, You know all things. You know that I love You. What will your response be?" He wants your love above everything else. And because He loves you, He wants to give you a second chance and restore you. You know that you love Him, and He knows that you love Him. So what are you waiting for? May your relationship with Jesus and love for Him be restored today. God gives us a second chance, not for us to live our lives as we want apart from God. He gives us a second chance so that we will live the life that He wants us to live in relationship with Him. Today, do you need to be restored? Do you need a second chance, or maybe a third or fourth chance? Or you feel that God has given you so many chances, but He's giving you another chance? Do you need to reaffirm your love for Jesus? Then come to Jesus, the God of second chance. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You for Your mercy and grace. We thank You, Father God, for Your unconditional love. And we thank You, Father God, that this morning You are inviting us to have breakfast with You, to have that fellowship meal with You, to have our fellowship restored with You, Father God. And we thank You, Father, for that. Thank You, O God, that You are a God of second chance. Father, we have failed You many times. We have struggled. We have many shortcomings. We have many challenges in our lives. But Father, we thank You that You don't hold that against us. We thank You, God, that You always desire to have a relationship with us, a deep and meaningful relationship with us. And here, Lord, today we offer ourselves to You to be restored if we have fallen away, if we have drifted away, if we have moved away from You. Thank You, Father God, for another opportunity to be restored and to be reconciled back to You again. And Father, we pray that You will continue to use us just like You use Peter in a powerful way. But here we are, use us, Lord. In Jesus' most wonderful and precious name we pray. Amen.